Yeah.
We have more echo than when you're in your car, but it's
Oh,
not
really?
6 second delay.
Yeah, it's kind of pingy. It's nice. We can actually have a conversation.
Ooh, only like
Jokes are
our
back on the
standard
table.
100 mil.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, how's it going?
How's it going? How's your Thanksgiving?
Just less podcast than I'm used to. That was the extent of my Thanksgiving. How's yours?
It's okay. It was a different experience. My kid had a fever, and apparently in fevers in 2-year-olds, they last 5 days. So,
It's
for him
a long
anyway,
one.
I had some virus, and he did not sleep really much. So my wife took most of the brunt of that because she was with him, at the in-laws, but. It wrecked us for a while. So none of us got sick other than
Okay.
him. So I don't know what. Always, it's always shocking how much our immune systems get good, like, and you don't even think about it when you're an adult versus how often kids get sick. I don't know. Maybe that's just America.
Oh no, they're practicing, right? They're getting good at it. Building up
Yeah.
those little immune systems. It's good. It's just, yeah,
Yeah.
they just
Good, you're sick again.
the bearers of disease. They bring it all home.
Yeah. What are you up to?
I have been still just doing the last bits and pieces of that workshop set up.
Oh.
Did a
Yeah.
bit of I did training with them this week. Just a day training one of their staff on the machine and the painting process and stuff like that. That's pretty good. Did a yeah. Don't know. It's good. So I've kind of just been like I got back from that yesterday and I was like, what do I do again? I've had one of those weeks where you rock up on Monday. And I'm like, what do I do here? How do I do it? How does this work?
How'd I get this job?
Yeah. I don't remember interviewing for this position.
This boss sucks.
It's been okay. Just been a little bit like rudderless, just from sort of, yeah, doing different stuff to usual, but. No, things are going here. We're kind of in the final little push. A few weeks, 2 weeks left to production to the end of the year. So kind of just looking at all the jobs that still have to be done. But it's looking all pretty achievable. I could probably still squeeze in a few more web orders and I think maybe. I haven't looked at it that closely, but yeah. Basically, we're full 2 weeks left and I've already checked out.
Good. Yeah.
So yeah, that's where we're headed. You gonna take some time off? I know your
Oh yeah.
like holidays are a bit shorter than Australia's at this time of year, but what are you doing?
Yeah, we like to work. Work, work, work. What are we doing? So Thanksgiving for the Australians and anybody else that's not American, it's a nice day. We eat some food. And the day before that, Wednesday, like right before I'm about to head out the door, one of our repeat customers was like, "Hey, I'd like to set up basically like a recurring order." And so I kind of rapidly put that together so that we could get it figured out and signed and paid for before I headed out the door. So we'd come back on Monday and everything would be good to go. So that was great. It was just like a surprise. It's been a really long time since I can remember having the next month booked, basically. We could do more, but it's like we just don't take on job shop much anymore, and it's always like one job. So that's what we're doing right now. But the bigger news is I currently have my shop torn apart and it's kind of back together because this morning the YCM left.
Whoa.
On truck. Somebody stole it. No.
Cool. Congrats.
We were in talks with a broker and the buyer for about a week before Thanksgiving and agreed to a purchase. And then we found out that there was still a lien on it. It'd never been cleared from who we bought it from.
That's right.
Because they don't really do this much at all. And it took till yesterday, 2 days ago, for it to get cleared. And we were at the point of the broker said, the buyer is ready to walk. They think this is fishy. And I was like, I agree. This is taking forever. but apparently there's people in the company we were trying to deal with. Their legal people were not. They were like all at a corporate event for a week. And all I was looking for was like, I kept joking, like the reverse of an IOU piece of paper where it was like, I just need this piece of paper to say, they don't know us anymore. You know, like, you can sell this machine. So it took until the last minute, but got all the money in the bank yesterday morning. And we spent all yesterday from start of the day till 9:15 p.m. Ricky and I just cleaning and prepping.
Yeah.
But it's out the door. It's gone.
Sick. Fast turnaround.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was so quick. We were both so tired and sore today.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. It's surprising how much work there is in like that final like little push to get a machine out the door. And also I've been surprised by that a couple of times now. It's like, oh yeah, and that. Oh, don't worry.
I've never done this before.
Okay.
But I think it will be easier on future machines because having done it, but I'm not going to rant on this, but I absolutely despise the sump design of that machine, the coolant sump. I think it was designed to collect as much debris inside of it as possible. It was like compartmentalized in no less than 10 compartments. So like you can never just clean and they're not welded separated. They're just like spot welded. So you clean one compartment and then it would ooze to the next. Clean it again, it would ooze to the other. And you're like, why would you do this?
How's your new sump? What's happening in?
It's great.
Five access land.
I keep making excuses for not having done anything with it, but we have been busy.
Yeah,
and selling machines. I've cut two first op parts of one of our riser parts, but this is the Chinese
vice. So chunky. So much
currently
bigger than mine.
Designing soft jaws. It's 150 mil wide soft jaws that replace these jaws so that I can cut a second op. And I've come to find out that like people don't talk about second ops at all on five axis machines. It's just kind of like I only do one and done. You know, like
it's one and done, baby.
I saw off my parts. That's all I do. And then somehow it magically is just done. You know, they don't make soft jaws for this vice. I asked them about it and they're like, oh yeah, you need more jaws. And they like sent me a link to the same jaws again. And I was like, no, like soft jaws, like aluminum. And they're like, oh no, no, we don't have those. We don't have a design. We don't have, so that's where I got stuck was I made parts. It went really well. I made a second part, went well, and just haven't gotten back to it, but I need to, I have more thoughts on that later, but I'm not going to keep babbling the whole time.
I'm the one confused with acronyms. I've forgotten the acronym for the new machine.
One will disappear YCM, here soon. So we only have one acronym.
I know, because my brain not working.
The universal.
The Haas. The UMC.
Yes.
Like, has it got significantly different sort of specs in terms of spindle power or anything like that? Like, do you have to sort of rethink your feeds and speeds and tooling approach at all? Or is it just kind of similar program, roll it out?
Not for these simple, like, they're basically just like blocks with holes, like simple parts. I think it changes drastically when you get into like multi-axis moves at the same time, which I haven't done yet. I'm excited to do that, but I haven't. But no, it's almost direct. I'm keeping the tool numbers the same for the most part too, cool. because that worked pretty well. The biggest difference, which is really weird for my brain, is using tool orientation in Fusion, you're basically creating, you know, like if you have deburring on all sides, you're creating a separate debur operation if you're using just a standard chamfering, I mean, but you have to make a separate one for each orientation. So yeah. you have like a bunch of duplicate, but it's all in one setup. So I'm using folders and stuff to help organize it. But like previously cool. I was taking four different setups and moving it all to one setup. I'll probably get better at it, I'm sure. But that's the biggest difference for me right now is thinking about like, okay, the machine's oriented like this. And it shows you like how it would orient. Yeah. But
yeah, cool. Yeah. Fun. Sick.
It's gone well.
I'm very behind on my multi-axis world of robotics. I feel like yeah. I just haven't touched them for weeks and weeks and weeks. And realistically, I'm not going to get that much more done on them this year, probably. Because we're kind of...
Yeah.
The next distraction here is prepping the factory for real estate photos on Monday. And then there'll Ooh. Be another thing. And then it will be the end of the year. So... I really want to get back to, since I rebuilt the sanding head on the robot, I've just got the dowel sanding running again. That's working really nicely. I made that new vacuum, printed vacuum sucker. Kind of got that back online because that was critical to be able to keep sanding dowel, but then I haven't even gone back into Grasshopper and reprogrammed the like shelf sanding stuff, which I was really close to having production ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rebuilt the sanding head and I haven't touched it, which is
right.
It is what it is. Yeah. Feeling the lack of playtime in that space. And every time I go out there and look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to like, I watch the sanding path on like the dowel. I'm like, damn, that's right. I need to add more relays to that so that that's switching. So I can switch the Fez tool sander on and off. And like, there's just like these little like sort of admin tasks building up, a long list of them where I'm like, cool, no, I need to take it offline for a while and do that. And then just not finding right. the headspace or time to dive into the electrical cabinet again. Meanwhile, I can feel like the like Grasshopper knowledge, like, slipping away from it, you know, like Grasshopper's like every time you open it's like, oh my god, what's going on in here? So like,
you've got to have like,
I know the longer I leave, those files, the harder it'll be to like reintegrate my brain back into them, but it's okay. It's just the reality right now.
I was wondering, I went to a maker meetup, which I hadn't been to since before the pandemic. Which is crazy, cool. But my friend was speaking at one and I was like, oh, cool. I haven't been to one forever. So I went and was chatting to some friends and then your robots came up and I showed up one of your Instagram videos and the guy was like an engineer and liked to do it. People bring like stuff that they work on. So he had like this cool, like, I think he was calling it a gift card that he was having PCBs made and wiring it up himself. So like you could give somebody a gift card and it would light up and show what was on it. Somehow your robots came up as showing them. I was like, I'm, you know, excited about this kind of future where maybe we can use older robots and stuff and be able to like program them. And I was like, my friend's doing this, basically programming with Grasshopper. And they were, Grasshopper would come up too. And the other guy, the engineer was like, oh my God, I'd thought about that. I wondered if you could use older robots like that. And I was like, yeah.
Nice.
Somebody was like, how does he have time to do that? And I was like, well, you know, it's a little at a time. You know, you get it going and then it's like you just let it keep sanding a dowel, maybe poorly for a while, and then it gets better and you add horns to it. And
yep. Yeah, I can see like I've had some comments on the little YouTube videos and stuff I've put up of like, there's no way robots can be profitable at like the scale you're operating at. I'm like, yeah, maybe not. Like, I'm sure that's the case if you had to pay an apps, you know, application engineer to do all of this for you. But this is kind of just tinker time for me. And if it results in, you know, labor reduction, then great.
Yeah.
It's pretty low stakes. Yeah.
So does the dowel sander, the Festool labeled robot, does it run every day? Are you doing that daily?
Nah, it's not running daily. We've run out of dowel again. We're having some material supply issues. Not bad issues, just like, you know, I probably didn't order quite soon enough, you know, 6 weeks ago, and so now we've run out. We've got a 2 week yep. gap where we don't have any dowel stock, which is frustrating. Right. We're going to get like 600 meters next week and then have a mad dash just to sand and, you know, machine all that dowel for yep. the final orders. But when we're kind of in good flow in the stock on the floor, we're sanding about 100 linear meters a week, which is...
That's a lot.
Roughly a day's, you know, a 6 hour shift for the robot or something to do that. So it's basically doing a day a week of work, and otherwise right. it's sitting idle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Damn, your shop looks big and clean in these photos. Justin just sent me the pics of the YCM
destroyed
going out
at
the
moment.
Ricky, does not look destroyed. It looks great.
Ricky is the answer to why it's clean. I mean, I would keep it swept, but keeping it organized would be a different story. But that sump I sent you the photo of, that is
yep.
aside from using degreaser on it, that is clean. And it is.
Yeah, yeah.
My
Looks
God.
Like a deep fryer.
I want to say it took us somewhere between 3 and 4 hours.
Mm.
Mostly Ricky, but then I helped for about an hour and a half. Just anyway, it's gone. I don't have to look at it ever again.
Cool. What are you going to do with the enclosure? Leave it?
I don't know.
Or is it down?
So yeah, this is the question. We were jokingly like, oh, maybe we... it moved out and I walked back in after they pulled everything out. And Ricky's like, dude, it's gone. This is amazing. Look at all this space. And it's like, we can finally start our auto repair bay.
Yep. Bring in the project
cars. We've been thinking about making it smaller. We had to cut it apart a little bit. I didn't quite have it designed well enough to just unbolt, and so I had to do some sawing of screws. But it should go back together pretty well. We're thinking about making it like more compressed to the wall, and then maybe putting laser the two lasers we have now. We did buy that fiber laser.
Yeah, sick.
I'll put a link to it. It's really quite nice. I mean, it runs on Lightburn, which is like, as far as I'm concerned, it's light burn or nothing, because EasyCAD is a nightmare, which is $100 software that runs these lasers. And you code a computer to it, and the calibration is what I didn't get right away. But otherwise, we like got out, God, what was it? 30 different adapters, because I'd sourced these adapters for the... interchangeable Vera torque wrenches.
Oh, the torque wrenches. Yep.
The 14 by 18, I want to say. They're works very well. Way better than the Technics ones we were selling in terms of changing them in and out. But yeah, so we have our own of those. So I was marking the adapters, and it's I can't think of much that's more satisfying. Maybe watching engraving, I guess, is really satisfying, but like with a CNC tool. But fiber lasering is pretty satisfying. It's got a noise to it.
Crispy and fast. I couldn't believe how quick it's burning in.
Three awesome. Seconds to do those adapters.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I was marking... we were like rushing through shipping those. We got done, and I was like, what else can I laser? And just finding more stuff. Oh, we've never been able to mark these wrenches. Cool. Bzz.
Cool. Bzz, bzz, bzz. Yeah, sick.
So I think we're going to maybe put the CO2 and the fiber in there.
It's a good
probably.
Idea.
Probably. I don't know. It seems it's not going to help to keep the fiber. We're going to have to get an enclosure for that, because it's a way to... I don't know, understand enough. It's not great for your eyes if you get the frequency of the light in your eyes.
No.
The light emission, which we were wearing glasses to do it, but it's just kind of tough to keep it contained that way, like without anything around it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We sort of have a hacky, which is a method of dealing with our little laser pecker that sits on the bench for doing the safety warnings on the shelves. And Ro tends to just put a cardboard box over the machine while it's running, just to block some extra rays. Like, it's got the little schnozzle guard, so it's got like laser protection directly around the beam.
Is that not enough?
It doesn't feel like enough. Like, if you glance across at it from across the shop, it's like, oh yeah, nah, that's, I don't know. Doesn't feel like enough.
I've seen. He changed his name. There was a guy on Instagram, super smart prototype engineer. He always does like good little TED talks on different things. And I remember him doing one on these glasses to protect against like lasers and saying that I basically remember him saying, don't trust the ones you get with the lasers from China. Cause they're That's like, right.
I remember that video. Yeah.
Not really good. And I was watching one pretty closely with the glasses on. And afterwards I saw light, like, I saw it in my vision. I was like, that shouldn't be the case, right? And I like asked GPT and it was like, yeah, that's not good. So I need to get some better ones, I think, too.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I did take my laser home recently and like with a whole lot of little plywood blocks like this and like just started making labels for all the kids' clothes drawers. Just like me and my kid were drawing little pictures of like pants,
right,
T-shirts, and then like making graphic labels. It was fun craft afternoon. Nice. Most enjoyable.
Very nice. I'm trying to. We look at our little list and we're like, oh, the next thing we wanted to talk. We've just been babbling. It's just good. It's good.
I did have a funny experience doing that workshop build the other week where there was a tool shop just around the corner. Like, I was walking around the block to pick up airline stuff and bits and pieces as I needed them. And every day I went in there, I went there pretty much every day, and I would walk past the huge wall of Milwaukee pack out stuff. And I was just like, I was blind to it for the first 3 days. And then on the fourth day... As I was starting to focus on like little nesting details of the workshop of like, oh, why do we need a thing here, a thing there? I kind of looked at the pack out wall and like, I've never sort of looked at it, sort of tried to understand it. Anyway, I was standing in front looking at this, all the pack out stuff, and I was like, oh, candy. And just like, it became quite a dangerous spot because I was like, oh, this could be really fun to like, fit out, or you know, get all your tools hanging like just so, and da 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 da, and they all clip together and go into the tool case. I remember you did a project with it at home, didn't you? Didn't you do your laundry or something?
Like coat closet, basically. And it's still been good. I did a little partnership deal with Fabworks and made a powder coated PEM nut studded like little like backer panel. And it made it more compact to the wall, so I could, because it's just in like this like 15-inch wide cabinet, so there wasn't a ton of room. And I wanted to put all the like weird tools and the little Dyson vacuum and chargers in there.
Yeah.
So I got like half of it organized, and the rest of it's kind of a mess. But yeah.
Nice. Anyway, I did have little visions of the new workshop next year of like, ooh, maybe
gonna go red.
I'm not going to go red, no. But
I think it's appealing. I think I like it. Makita, we've had Makita stuff since I originally bought a DeWalt set right away when I first started and found I didn't like that. And got Makita, and all every tool still works great. All the batteries work like 7 years later. But then I fell in love with the 12-volt Milwaukee. It's just so compact. Very rarely do you ever need any more juice than that.
My electrician really was using those.
Similarly,
they look really good.
Yeah. I think it's just that they fill... Do you remember the days when the NiCad was the battery and those just felt so large and clunky and kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
the batteries were huge. And then we got the lithium ion. It's like, oh, these seem more compact. And it's like a whole nother level of like compactness with the 12 volt stuff.
Yeah, cool. Is that the Milwaukee M12 series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Dangerous.
It's not worth buying all new tools for, but I did mention kind of in relation to this. So I did put out a second UMC video on like the costs of, you know, buying a 5-axis machine. It did pretty well in terms of views and comments and stuff, and people were appreciative of the transparency of it. I did say I would share. We did sell the YCM. I'll forever get that wrong. For $28,000 all in, net included the probes, which I was going to sell separately, the Renishaw table and spindle probes. So I was pretty happy with that for a 10-year-old machine that I think it had like 900 some hours. Just barely had run, you know, like
low hours still.
Pushed it hard. So it's nice to have it gone and nice to have the cash, and I'm doing my best to not spend it. The fiber was my caveat, was we needed the fiber, and nice. I submitted my permit to put the doors between the two spaces, which I have to pay some permit fee right now for it, but it seems that's going to happen soon, which is
okay.
So
cool.
Great. I'm so tired of walking around outside.
Yeah, great. Good. And that'll just be like a pedestrian access door, not a roller door or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not for now. I could down the road if we think we really need it, but I'm just going to put a little person door in.
Yep. Sweet. Good. Good, good, good. What's the ridder? You texted me some stuff sometime in the last week. I can't remember about hiring thoughts. Where's your brain?
I am leaning more and more towards putting a. I think I'm kind of just refining it with my assistants, which is funny to like. Be using like we've both been listening to Shell Game again, that podcast, which has been good. I'm less enthused as I was the first time. There's a lot more novelty, and I think so much has happened since the original season that it's less exciting or like titillating, I suppose. But still good. I still enjoy it. And he talks a lot about like interacting with agents as employees and stuff, and you know, it's an interesting thought. Like, I'm planning the hire with an AI of somebody that's real. It's just like a funny, here's what you should plan. Here's what you should think about for your revenue next year and all these different things. But I'm pretty convinced, and GPT may be leading me astray here, but that against your advice, I think I'm going to try and hire a sales/customer support person. But it's going to be more kind of like the analogy that it gave me, because I said, this doesn't seem like a real position. And I didn't even ask it about, I said, I know I have been thinking about hiring. What do you think the position should be? I left it open to it. And this was what it suggested, was this position. And I said, well, it doesn't seem like a real position. Are there people like that out there that have these skills? It seems like a unicorn. And it was like, oh no, they're all over. And it gave me this like massive list of like where you would find in other industries. One was restaurants, like managing bars, like HVAC companies, like anybody that works in the front office manages procurement, a form of sales, customer support. And it's just a matter of training in the nuances of your business that like people know how to do this stuff already. And I was like, that's a really good point. Like, maybe it's lying to me, but that's where I wanted to go. I don't expect like a full-on trained salesperson or a full-on customer support person. It's, you know, I want to take 60-80% of that like task away from my plate so I can actually do things like R&D on the UMC or not. as I keep saying, like, be stuck to my desk answering emails all day.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And like, how, I'm curious, like, in the optimism of these agents when you're developing something with AI, how legit did that sort of list feel? Or like, have you managed to sort of verify that in any way of like, yeah, those people do exist, or like those sorts of roles do exist? Like,
I haven't like, I guess, how would you verify it? What would you do to verify it?
No, I don't know. Like, looking against, you know, I don't know, employment websites or job listings to sort of get a sense of like what else is out there that kind of is similar.
Right.
Or translatable.
I'll give you the list of these folks live in inventory, purchasing, customer service, sales follow-up. And then it said, they already buy parts, track orders, email vendors, keep engineers from losing their minds, handle customers. It was very sassy with me when I was emailing or messaging them with this. There was a list of where they come from, though, that was really interesting. My thought is, like, the test will be, it costs me basically nothing to put an application out to see if I get people that want to apply.
Yeah.
And then potentially do interviews to see how that comes off, because in my mind, like, versus other positions, I've never really hired for sales before of some sort, where every other position I've ever hired is a cost, not a profit making thing, right? Like a revenue making position where realistically the person should pay for themselves pretty quickly, right? Like,
they
should be bringing in additional money that, So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's crazy, but it's definitely what we need.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I was thinking about that, like, because I've helped this company that I've been setting up the workshop for. I've sort of helped them, guide them a little bit in terms of their hiring for this new production line.
Yeah.
And because they haven't done any manufacturing before. So this is they are basically a sales company who are tacking on a manufacturing line. And
weird, yeah.
They're just not that familiar with this space at all. And, you know, the director had sent me a position description that he drafted in ChatGPT, and he gave me a printout of it, and I was like, I didn't have time to look at it. But before I jumped in the van to drive back, I was like, scanned it into one of my agents in Sim Theory, and then just jumped in the car. And I was like, pick this apart. What's wrong with it? And it did a really good job of sort of rejigging it to make it more manufacturing specific and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but like the CEO was asking me, like, do I just put this listing on like Seek, you know, general one of like one of the main sort of job websites? I was like, maybe, but let me just reach out to my networks first and see who's around, who's like more immediately connected to sort of in some way to sort of, you know, has CNC machining experience, but also has, you know, great attention to detail and, you know, is good with sort of organizing long lists of part numbers and SKUs and knowing what to machine next and stuff like that. Anyway, someone came through my network who was just perfect for the role, and it never got listed on a job website. This person's now got the job, and it kind of just made me like aware of how good the tangential and more immediate sort of connections can be in that context versus just like throwing it out and, you know, getting 30 applications and 30 people who are like, I don't know. I mean, you might find gold doing that as well. You might find like a unicorn who's just perfect, but like, don't know. It's a tricky one to know where to go. And I suppose, if you can sort of pursue sort of network connections first before putting out a more broad thing, then great. You know, reaching out to other makers, employers, friends who like just may know someone who like, it's like, oh yeah, that this person is looking for work and has this experience and could be a good fit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They could have their own private office right
me. With the lasers. Oh, no, the other next door, right? Yeah,
I've
yeah.
got an entire other space that's just empty. I walk through it on the way to the other part of the shop. I keep the Roomba's dock in there, so the only thing is one chair and a Roomba right there. It's just like, I don't know what the hell to do with it. It still needs to get painted, so.
The Roomba's got a corner office. I love it.
It does. It's the nicest space ratio. That's interesting. I mean, I feel like often I've had this experience of, and maybe why I wanted to have my own business in the first place was like, I don't often feel like I want what is typical. Like I wanted somebody like Ricky or the people before him that were like, not just an operator, like that they could do computer CAD work or, you know, other things. Yeah. And that seemed crazy at the time. And I did get a few applicants right away, and it's become more common where it's not crazy anymore. But now it's like, I'm trying to think of like, oh, if I reach out to friends, like, what am I even going to say? Like, I want somebody, I guess you just say what you want. Like, we want this kind of position. Maybe that's, you've heard of somebody that you're also not employing.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, like, because I've got this affliction where I just want to employ everybody I meet. It's always been a problem for me of like, oh, you're cool.
Right.
It'd be great to work together. So, if someone asks me, hey, do you know anybody? What typically happens is I just kind of go blank and like, well, I have no idea. But then if I actually think about it, like, there's a whole bunch of people, you know, of who maybe I've previously employed or like I know of or have met who are like, who I know are actively looking for work. And yeah, I don't know. Networks are good. If you can tap into them, I reckon that's first protocol. Don't know. Yeah.
Ricky, he's cleaning I've got the dust boot doing auto cleaning and he's cleaning the table himself. Oh.
I keep thinking about
that. The robot's got it.
You had to do something weird with that program to trick it into doing something or something.
Super
spindle
easy.
Tool.
I changed to a dummy tool so it doesn't suck dust up into the... You could probably do it with just a shorter end mill. I choose to use a nutless dummy tool. Just a tool that wore out and sure. I took the nut off of the earth.
They do a tool change and off you go, run the cleaning cycle.
And it takes, if you had a really amazing vacuum dust collection system, you'd probably do it faster, but it's, you know, you're doing a bunch of sheets a day. Like it really gets you tired out to do like a ton of vigorous cleaning motions and the dust boots, it's under 2 minutes to do that
cycle.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, if you're doing something else, I think it's great.
It's cool. I learned how that worked, which is just so basic, and I think someday I would have figured it out, but I learned how to do it on the YCM to do an M98 subroutine, where it just is like, you get to this line, go run this other file, and then come back. And so I just have a file called db-clean, which is like a facing operation, but it includes that tool change, so... Very simple.
Yeah, nice. It's cool. Love it.
It's satisfying to watch. It's like,
yeah.
I love vacuums. That's all it is. I can't help it. I saw you comment on it, and I've been watching their YouTube series. So I hadn't watched like any of their things before, but Hacksmith has like a Kickstarter that went absolutely viral. They have to make 40,000 of these titanium knives, and so they've been like chucking like 60 new CNC mills into multiple buildings.
What?
No. They've been buying like 10 at a time. They
what?
Spent over $250,000 on Pearson work holding. Like, it's,
see, I don't know anything about Hacksmith.
I didn't either. YouTube just showed me
right.
One of their videos. I'd heard the name, but I've been watching kind of like, there's probably a German word for it, like not that I want them to fail, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know. It seems like you've never run this many machines, and now you're hiring crazy amounts of people to. It's like a $16 million Kickstarter or something absurd. Really wasn't where I was going with this, because you commented on, I think it was Grimsmo's video that I saw.
That's all I've seen is Grimsmo's video. Yeah.
So that's one of the guys. I don't know if he's a founder of that company, but he has this crazy workshop. I hadn't seen that. They didn't share that before, but he has this crazy home assistant controlled experience when he sets down a Rubik's Cube on his desk. The whole thing like turns into like Star Wars batten down the hatches mode. And I think for the first time, I finally went, maybe I should look at home assistant. Like I've had IoT smart things since 2010 when they first did the Kickstarter. And it's been so flaky that I kind of just got like burned by it. I was just like, I'm not going to try again until it's like really good. It just always fails and you can't figure out why. And the companies suck to like give your support. But this was like pretty good. Did you swipe through? There was another video where he was showing the inventory location system.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts.
That was the thing that got me. I was like, oh my God, that's cool. Where he's like sending voice commands into the air. And it was like giving him some sassy response about like where the servo motors were. And it was like, oh, it's on row 4. And then the LEDs would light up right where it was. And I was like, oh, I want that. Jem has walked away.
Walked away to
pissed him off.
Get this. So this is a Sonoff SV. Stands for safe voltage. I bought some of them recently. They're just a little chip. It's like a Wi-Fi relay, basically.
I see.
And I've been getting a little bit more interested in home automation stuff because I want to do like a hacky way to be able to pause the robots from my desk remotely.
Oh.
Because I tend to keep like a Galaxy Tab with webcams out to the robot cell if I'm doing desk right. work and it's doing sanding. It's just like keep an eye on it to make sure it doesn't drop a stick and do something weird. But I want a pause function. So I bought these Sonoff chips because you can pipe through, you know, switch whatever you want with them with a simple, you know, Wi-Fi relay thing.
Yep.
And I was just going to wire one of them into the robot controller as a pause function, but
that sounds great.
It's cool. I'd love to play with more stuff like that, but I don't actually know. Like I heard Saunders was talking about home automation stuff, right. And then you've mentioned Home Assistant. I don't even know what Home Assistant is. Is it like an open standard for this stuff, or what's the deal?
Like I said, I used to be all into it. I use smart things, and then I have the Apple Home Kit, which is Apple's thing. And then I think Home Assistant plays off of one of them, maybe. And it's like a separate running little server on like an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi or something. And I just was like, I also bought Shelly's based on one of my friends was using them. And I just completely failed to get that set up here. I probably spent $200 on different Shelly things that you can wire into control different aspects. It's Shelly is another IoT provider of hardware.
Okay.
But it was a little more industrial, and I was like, oh cool, maybe this will work better than Home Assistant since it's like very consumer grade. And I just completely failed to get Shelly set up. Like I couldn't get anything to like work at all. It wouldn't work with the app. I couldn't get it to wire right. So I just have kind of lost interest lately. But the Home Assistant, I've had enough. It's, you know, like you said, Saunders and different things have popped up where I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's finally mature enough that I'm not going to hate it again.
Cool. All right, I'll check it out. Apparently these Sonoff things can work with Home Assistant. So I was just going to vibe code my own app for the tablet that can just talk to this, you know, three of these switches so I can pause the three robots and maybe use the feed from the Wi-Fi cameras into that app as well. So I've just got like a single screen app which has got three camera feeds on it and basically three pause and resume buttons, and just be like, have that as my little sort of remote control desktop thing. Because kind of that's all I want it to do. Super cool. I think it'd be pretty straightforward.
When we first moved into this shop, me and an employee that was here at the time were pretty concerned about the router being so far away from where we are. It's like 75 feet. And so we tried to... He had experience in like computer software, IT stuff. And so our best answer was that we couldn't run a cable that would actually trigger, and especially because WinCNC is such a mess where you have to have the window focused to be able to control it with the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Or otherwise that doesn't work. So like we just basically got to this point where like, I don't think we have a way to stop it from here other than I run over and hit the breaker panel, which is closer to me.
Yeah.
But yours is way more elegant. I like it helps to have industrial actual like control boxes and systems.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah,
things
yeah.
actually work, yeah. you know?
Yeah, they're so powerful in terms of how much you can do with those control boxes. But John does a cool thing with the multicam. He's got an emulator. So the multicam doesn't have its own, well, it does have its own PC, but it's in an enclosure on the CNC. It's got like an old, it's running Windows 98 or something stupid. But then on his computer where he does all his programming, his Fusion stuff, he's got an emulator of like the Game Boy control interface.
Yeah.
And still catches me off guard when I'm like working. I can see John sitting at his desk and then the multicam suddenly goes and powers up and like does cycle start and John hasn't moved. And it's like he's just running it all from this emulator on his PC screen. So he can do, you know, you can control everything, yeah. Load files, run files. It's,
I've done that
still
before.
Still surprises me, but it's really nice.
We used to use just like screen sharing to that PC.
Ah, nice.
And I can do it here locally well enough, but it's, I don't know. It's not ideal.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, related, the last video I made, Random Routing commented on it.
Woo.
Our friend from YouTube. And I was like,
so good.
You watch my videos? I watch your videos. I love your videos. And he was like, oh, cool. And then he and another person started chatting in the comments too. And I was like, oh, cool. It's a small little world.
That's awesome.
I was thinking maybe we should, I don't know if he's available. It'd be kind of cool to have him on here.
That'd be amazing.
I don't know if we can manage that triangulation of airtime. We have enough trouble with delay.
Look, I think I'd get out of bed at any hour for a bit of random routing action. That'd be cool.
It's a clip there. Some random action.
Give me some random action.
Seem to have a playlist.
I got some very sad news during the week that... The lovely, generous gentleman that I bought the robots from has passed away.
Oh, and shoot. I didn't realize
which
was
we knew was going to happen. Like, it was on the cards. He's been like avoiding, he had been avoiding that for like 3.5 years, despite having been given a much shorter time frame than that. He managed to stretch it.
Wow.
And, yeah, his wife called me the other day and it hit me pretty hard, honestly. Like, I think because, I don't know, I feel like I've inherited his passion for these machines. I don't know. I just feel really lucky to have even met him and had anything to do with him.
Right.
Let alone, you know, inherit his robot babies and have spent a bit of time with him as he sort of very generously handed over a whole lot of knowledge and information and stuff. But yeah, pretty sad and sobering reminder that life is short. And don't know what else to say about that, but I've had a few sleepless nights lately about sort of, I don't know, I don't know, because I've gone through a little patch of working probably too much and not seeing my kids as much as I would like due to sort of early starts, late finishes, and then, you know, just getting home in time to sort of pretty much just, you know, read a couple of books and put them to bed. And that's, you know, when you get news like that, it's like, priorities, maybe.
I've had a very, very strong reaction lately, especially because I've been doing those rush jobs where I've just missed being home completely before my son's asleep. And I've also, you hear these things as soon as you become a parent where it's like, either somebody tells you or you see a video where it's like, you only get 60 weeks, or, you know, that's not the right number, but you only get 150 weekends with your kids. And you're like, what?
Blah.
You know, it's not that number, but it's a shockingly small amount. And I think more and more about how the amount of money doesn't really matter anymore. You know, like taking the job to make it happen. It's like I'm having to retrain my brain faster. I need to do it faster. It's just not worth it. You know, like,
what do you mean faster?
I'm just so used to taking those jobs when it feels like the right work, but then it's not that my son is at the front of my brain a lot of the time, but it's like, I don't think, oh, this is going to take me away from bedtime or being home at the proper time, you know, and that being a big deal. It is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm making it sound like I don't think about it, but it's just, you sometimes you just hit you differently after it happens, after you've missed it.
Yeah.
Or you hear things like that.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
Yep. Oh, hello, printer. Wakey, wakey.
I was like, I hear something electronic or mechanical. Mm-hmm.
Printer just woke up. Speaking of which, I should probably toddle off and get one of my kids to school, but do you want to talk about the filthy assistants briefly?
Okay, go for it. You start.
I feel like I've had a couple of weeks of like some great successes, but some cracks appearing in my digital assistants, and particularly around Claude Haiku. I don't know how much you use this model.
Yeah.
But I was using it heaps, almost exclusively when I was doing any MCP work in SimTheory.
Yep, same.
Just because it's so fast and it seems good at MCP stuff and it's cheap, doesn't
low take tokens.
Yeah, it's basically free to run. Yeah. But I've just had quite a few instances lately where it's just completely lost the plot. It's like it's run out of context memory or something. And what was it? It was one particular thing where I'd been driving. Oh, that's right. I texted you about this after it happened. I was like, I'd been driving and chatting to it and planning something about, it was choosing a sealant to seal up this spray booth that I was commissioning. Right. And I spent, 20 minutes chatting to it, trying to get it to do Google research and Firecrawl research about researching all these different sealant products. I needed something that was going to cure quickly in a wet environment and then be able to fill the tank with water and that it would continue to cure underwater, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, research went really well. It's great at doing Google searches and stuff and collating research. And then I got to the hardware store and I was standing in the aisle and I was like, let me just photograph the two top options that are here, upload them, and get it to do final research on those two things. And it was just like, it responded of like, oh, cool. Well, I don't know what your project is, but sounds good. And it was just something completely off. It was just like, even though I was in the same chat, and I've had that happen a few times lately where it's just like completely lost context of what we were doing 2 seconds ago. Which is quite disconcerting and frustrating. But it seems to be a haiku issue specifically. Like, it doesn't happen if I'm using Opus 4.5, which I've been using a lot more, because it's pretty quick now and seems much smarter and more reliable. But yeah, just minor frustrations with the digital assistants, but for the most part, very valuable. Like, yeah, don't know. What are you playing with?
I used Haiku quite a bit. I think I told you, because I accidentally blew through my tokens. I accidentally blew my YouTube tokens. In like a week. I've done this a couple times where our sim theory, I've never had this problem where they give you some allotment. I didn't even know what the allotment was. So I never got close. Never got close to getting through it. And now there's like image generation tokens separately, which makes sense. I don't think anything they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
But I wasn't aware that I was like absolutely decimating them with a 4.5 model of something. I think Sonnet was crazy expensive and I was using it for everything. And I just like, out of the 30-day cycle of the month, I think I did it in like 10 days. And I was like, oh, that's no good. So then after that, I was conservative. But Opus, 4.5 Opus has been amazing for coding and a lot of things. It seems super smart. It doesn't seem to be taking up a ton of cost right now. But I've been using Nano Banana Pro for product imagery.
It's so good.
Thumbnails. And it is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Yeah. It's especially really, really good at for what the things that I haven't been able to do before is taking existing things, retaining their exact characteristics, but changing the minor detail, or like putting it in a new context, or mashups where, like, if you look at last show's maybe not even the best example, but I like made a bunch of thumbnails for the show, put us in spacesuits.
That was amazing.
And like, I can't even tell you how few amount of times in the hundreds of YouTube video thumbnails I've made that I haven't opened up Photoshop and changed something or needed to. And I've made a handful lately that is perfect. And I'm like, this is shocking. Like, so good. Such amazing quality where like you can't really tell it's AI. And it is a little, like, I think I have had to pay to recharge those tokens, but like I think I paid $20 for like 1,000 of those tokens, and it uses maybe 30 a shot, and I'm like, I will pay that all day. Like, that is just so worth it for how little time I have to spend to do something with it.
Yeah, I've been punching out more like client renders for custom jobs. So doing the screenshot out of Rhino. And then I've trained an agent specifically with like instructions around what materials I use and style of shot and stuff. Yep. And I just, I chuck the Rhino screenshot in there, and like 30 seconds later, I've got like this stunning render that can go with a quote or as part of just a proposal. Like, it's pretty nuts.
It is. Yeah. I think that's, I don't know. My brain is tired.
Need
another break. Need a nice
more coffee for you.
Week long vacation on a beach.
It's coffee time.
Cool. Where did this go? Somewhere I got that.
All right. It's coffee time. Yeah. Cool. Good to see you.
Yep. No kidding. That's it.
Okay, Shane. That's the end.
Bye-bye.
Damn it. Bye. Here we go. It's parts department, baby.